When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there and welcome to another episode of Full Times a Podcast. Just before we get started in discussing yesterday's derby game, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Football Prizes. This week's Celtic prize for them is a stunning signed and custom framed Celtic shirt signed by Kyogo. So it's got Kyogo on the back, he's signed it himself, and there's a nice custom frame with it as well. If you want to get involved, go to footballprizes.co.uk and you'll be able to find it along with a lot of the other good competitions with great prizes you can win. And if you use the code FULLTIMES10 at checkout, you'll get 10% off your ticket price. So thanks to them for sponsors, and thanks to everybody that's used their discount code. It helps us cover costs at the podcast, and we'll go on with the show now. Hello there and welcome to another episode of Full Times a Podcast. You join us on Tuesday the 3rd of January. It's just over 24 hours since Celtic maintained their 9-point lead at the top of the table after a 2-each draw with Rangers at Ibrox. Celtic took the lead in the first 5 minutes through Dyson Maeda. They then went behind early in the second half after conceding a goal from Ryan Kent and a penalty from James Tavernier. But as so often has been the case this season, they kept going and got an equaliser a couple of minutes from the end through that man Kyogo. Danny, I'll bring you in. You, to be fair, I think out of the 4 hours when we were talking in the group chat, and that says that you would take a draw. I think the way the game panned out, most people were happy with a draw come the end, because it was, I don't mind saying, I think it was a pretty poor performance for the most part of the game yesterday. What did you make it?
Aye, but taking a draw, this is to me 3 weeks ago, come back after the World Cup, you'll play, you know, you've got 5 games coming up, 4 before you go there. If you can still be 9 clear at the end of that, you would take it. After 5 minutes, I thought, am I going to take 6 or 7 after? 60 minutes after that, you're thinking, God, what's going to happen here? I don't know. I don't know what to make it. I didn't think it was a great game for being a 2-each draw, wasn't it? Like a thriller or anything like that. But the first half, there was a spell for about, when Joe Hart tries to clear it, and I think Morelos charges him down, and then, to be fair to Hart, he makes a great save to take the ball into the post. But about 10 minutes of focus, just run about that period in the game, and we'd have scored another couple of goals, I think. We were first to every ball in midfield, and we were first to every second ball if we were only getting the first, and it was such a weird first half, because we were so sloppy, but yet they were worse. And you think, God, if we were on it, we'd punish them and score a couple more goals. I'm one of his biggest fans, but I thought O'Reilly just was so within himself at times, and he did really well for the first goal, because he went and won the ball off Lindstrom, and I know Lindstrom gave it to Morelos, who gave it to Maeda, but it was just, I thought with O'Reilly, it was like the ball kept breaking to him, and he'd all this space, and he was going back the line, and he usually tries to play killer passes, and he was trying a few passes that didn't come off from yesterday. I don't really mind when O'Reilly gives the ball away, because he's always trying to do something, but I just thought yesterday was a bit just played within himself. I was wanting him to be a wee bit more assertive because I don't think there's many better players, footballers in Scotland than O'Reilly. I think he's fucking brilliant. I thought he kind of summed up how kind of, I don't want to say rubbish the first half we won, but I thought he summed up how maybe a missed opportunity it was. And then after that incident with Hart, we kind of just let them into the game. And then the last 10 minutes of the first half, I wouldn't say we were hanging on. I mean, Morelos had a good chance with a header for a corner, but we were, I thought we just invited them on a bit. And then the start of the second half was just pathetic. The first 10 minutes was just like something I thought we'd long seen for a Celtic team. Like, Juranovic was pretty poor for when he came on anyway. He kept getting the ball, he kept putting stupid passes, but just a pathetic attempt to stop Sakara. I mean, he just bounces off him and then gees up. And Johnson, who I thought played really well in his debut, and I thought he stood up really well at times, especially in the first half when they were trying to get a lot of joy down the left, I thought he stood up really well. But somebody should have had a word in his ear about Kent and said, look, he cuts inside, that's what he was today. It was a good finish, to be fair, to Kent. I just thought it was a really poor goal for us to concede, and then 5 minutes later, like, Starfelt, he just don't know why he's going to deck because Sakara's going to do it anyway. And I know Starfelt, it looks as if Sakara stones on Starfelt, but to be fair, Starfelt's getting a business sliding in. Just a really pathetic attempt at stopping him. And as I say, if Starfelt would have stood up, like, Sakara would have fell on his arse because he was going to do it anyway. And then you gave him a 2-1 lead. And don't get me wrong, I never ever thought Celtic were going to lose yesterday watching the game. I must admit, and it's ingrained in me watching this team that they'll get a chance and they'll take it. But I thought when Moy came on, we held on to the ball a wee bit better. Because in the first 20 minutes we were playing really well, and then we lost all sort of control that we had in the game, and you just let them in and they play for penalties and that, and then how we never got a penalty is fucking beyond me. Passionate about silly. I mean, there's always a word, you know, whether it's fucking ball to hand or hand to ball, whatever, it's fucking silhouette, pass, you know, but let's take all that out of the equation. Connor Goldson seen a ball coming at him, put his hands up, put the ball out towards the ball, punched it away with both hands. It's the fucking literal depiction of a deliberate handball, and we've got fucking two tits that one didn't see it happen live and the other one couldn't see it despite a fucking 100 replays. Just fucking pathetic. And another fucking VAR decision that goes against us, and this hick talk about fucking benefit of the doubt and all that, and VAR was meant to eliminate this doubt. There wasn't meant to be any doubt with VAR, and that's all it's fucking created. Referees are getting sent up to watch decisions when you know, offside decisions, which are meant to be fucking black and white. There's no meant to be any greys with offsides. And yet, Beaton didn't get asked to go and watch that again. 100% would have gave up, well, should have gave a penalty. You can never fucking be sure with them. It's maybe 99% should have given a penalty. But despite that, the team just refused to get beat. They just refused to get done. And they were pressing, and I was quite happy that Ange didn't just swap Kyogo for Jackie Marcus. I was quite happy that he went with something different. And tried to get a wee bit more space for Kyogo, and it worked because, you know, we scored and Kyogo got the goal. So I don't know how many say Celtic were poor. I think that's been quite harsh with the team. It's worst performance of the season, and maybe the grief was too much for the Queen that they forgot the St Johnstone, the St Mirren performance. But for the first 20 minutes it was going to be a row, and then, you know, we somehow ended up having to go rescue the game. We've been playing really well lately, so they were due a kind of, well, not reality check, but can't play like that all the time. And they still did me enough to get a draw. And I did think we were going to win at the end. But again, long story short, if you'd have said to me before the game, you'll be 9 clear at the end, no matter what, I'd take that. It's goals like that and points like that we'll look back at in May and say, that one is the league. Hopefully.
Aye, definitely. I mean, I think we're still in a fantastic position, and I know you're saying I don't think the full team was poor, but I think we had a few really notable poor performances. You've mentioned Matt O'Reilly, I completely agree. I think I've been quite critical of him on the pod and in our group chat this season. I think there's times when he could give me air. I thought yesterday was pretty ineffectual. Like, we gave James Forrest all the credit for finally reaching 100 goals and 100 assists, but the truth of the matter is that when he got named in the starting lineup yesterday, 95% of fans' reaction was that he was going to have a stinker, and he absolutely did. Like, the first half, I've never seen somebody who contributed to breaking down our moves so much more than him. Like, he just seems unable at times to like controllable. There was one that got switched to him, and it was it was a high bond, but he was in a mile of space on the right hand side, and he failed to even bring it down and put it out for a throw. And I thought the only time he actually put a bit of quality in the box was the one that Kyogo sort of missed, and Maeda couldn't do much with it after it. But I just thought it was a bit of a mad selection from Ange. Like, you know, like when we spoke about it, we sort of thought it'd be Jota, and if not, maybe Abada. I think Abada must have been sitting on the bench watching it in the first half, wondering what Mary could have done the last few weeks to get in ahead of James Forrest, because I just thought, as I say, it was exactly the type of performance that he's given Ibrox, like, in his Celtic career. Like, I know he's had a few goals at Celtic Park against them, but generally in these games, he's a player that goes missing, and it was the same again yesterday. Alistair Johnson came in, I think. That was the other shock. We obviously, everybody expected Juranovic to come in. And when Johnson came in, I wasn't disappointed, because obviously there's a boy who'd played at a World Cup and he's your new signing. He's obviously going to be there a lot longer than what Juranovic has got left at Celtic, you'd expect, if the rumoured interest is true. But I thought he played well. And then Taylor obviously gets down injured. And I just thought it was like, Juranovic has obviously played left-back on a number of occasions for Celtic. He even made his debut at left-back at Ibrox, but I thought it was mad like that he was the one that was brought on when you had Burnaby on the bench, who's obviously had a few appearances the last few weeks, and thought he did very well at Easter Road. And just in terms of keeping a mere natural shape to the team, I thought having a recognised left-back would have been by far the better option. And look, who am I, question Ange. Like, he's took us to where we are, but I think Juranovic straight away just looked absolutely off it, and he just kept putting passes astray. And look, this is a guy who at the World Cup pocketed Vinicius Jr. and somehow could have caught with Fashion Sakala. It was quite bizarre to see. And I thought that, like, we obviously, in terms of the first half in general, Maeda's goal's just brilliant. Like, his awareness to intercept it, I think Tavernier should get rid of it, but that's just the type of player he is, that he makes an arse of it. And Maeda then takes it past Golden as well and finishes brilliantly. And that's twice in this week that he's showed real composure in that finish at Easter Road, and then again yesterday. And like, we'd played well for the first 15-20 minutes, but when that Taylor substitution happened, I felt we did sort of lose a bit of composure. And you mentioned the Joe Hart incident. Like, obviously it does make a save, but it sort of just gave him a bit of encouragement that they sort of came out against us merely. You obviously spoke out the chances they had, but the thing was, like, no matter how poorly I thought Celtic were after the substitution, like, we looked dangerous going forward, and I thought it was just a wee bit missing. Like, I thought Kyogo was very quiet in the first half, and despite that, I thought a second goal before half-time would have killed it. Evidently, we didn't get it, and they went in at half-time, and I thought Ange would have just ripped their team apart and would have come out with a bit of composure. But we then come out, and as you say, first of all, I think Sakala gets away free, and it's far too easy. He's the wrong side of him and allows him in. But Alistair Johnson's, like, he's been there 3-4 weeks, and in the sort of preparation for this game, surely whatever right back you're planning to play, like, as you say, you know that's what Ken wants to do. He's been his game for the 3 years or whatever it is he's been at Rangers. He wants to cut in and try and curl shots in. So it was a really sloppy goal to lose, and then the penalty, there's a debate about contact. I think Starfelt, as you mentioned, Danny Starfelt's just, like, he's no need to go to ground like that, and it just gives the referee the easy option to get a penalty. And then, like, I know you said you were confident we would never lose. I didn't even know where our goal was going to come from, because I just thought we'd played really poor. I thought when Moy came on, we did look a bit more composed in the middle of the park, but I thought Abada was trying to get involved, but didn't have much going for him for the first wee while after they came on. And I thought we possibly waited a bit too long to bring Jota and Giakoumakis on. I thought, like, I don't know what the situation with Jota is. He's obviously been on the bench the last 3 games now, and I think Ange mentioned something about an illness, but he's seen the impact he had when he came on. Like, I know a few things didn't come off, but he was just so direct, and he just completely makes the goal himself. It's him that sort of makes a move, and plays the pass to Aaron Moy, who is, like, 3 or 4 yards onside. I think it's Barisic and Sands that play him on, and Jota's the one that eventually gets on the end of it to stop it at the byline and gets it across. Giacomakis, I think, gets a wee touch on it, and Kyogo finally gets his goal in a Glasgow derby, which was, it's a massive moment for him and a massive moment for us, because as I said in the preview, just didn't want to give him any sort of encouragement that this title race has got much longer to go. I think the way the game panned out, it's a much better point for us. It's obviously their home game, and one of the few chances that they had left to take points off us. But all in all, it's a great point for us. And as you said, the mentality was there again from the team to just go to the final whistle. And aye, Tony, as I said, the shocks in the lineup were Johnston and Forrest. What did you make of the team and the game in general?
I thought Johnston was great. I really, really enjoyed watching him. I thought he was composed. He got forward well. He put in a few good crosses. He defended fine as well. I know the one with Kent, he obviously should have kind of taken him the outside, but that can happen. Kent can be quite a dangerous player, as much as the supporters don't like to admit it. I know he's not scored a lot of goals, but he's got a decent enough record against us. So I thought he was good. I was shocked when I seen Forrest was playing, and I think everybody was the same. I don't think there was anybody that actually thought James Forrest was going to have a good game for us. He's never scored at Ibrox. Sorry, I'm scared of it more. Never scored at Ibrox. He's never, I don't know if he's ever set anybody up at Ibrox or done anything kind of worth mentioning. I think he's only scored 2 goals against Rangers in 13 years. I bet he's scored 3 in 2 or 3 games against them. So it was just, it was strange, even with the bug in the room. I still don't think we should have been playing Forrest, especially if you have Jaw and Abad on the bench. They couldn't have been that bad. And when Jaw came on, I thought he done quite well. He played his part in the equaliser. So, it was strange to see Forrest starting. As you can tell, my voice has not improved since Easter Road. I think I've knocked myself ill. And watching these stupid referees yesterday didn't help me. So, but I thought we were quite poor overall. I don't think we played well. I thought we dominated the first 20 minutes, but didn't really do it with it. Kyogo should probably have put his 2-0 up if he made with the cross that came in across the deck. Thought Juranovic was terrible. I'm not going to go through him and say he's a disgrace or anything like that. People with bad games, I don't think he was deliberately trying to be bad, but he just was. He had a really poor game. I think Starfelt in the air is absolutely tremendous. I think when he's got the ball at his feet, he's hopeless. He has a bit of a bomb scare when he's got the ball at his feet under pressure. There's nobody can deny that. So that's something we'll need to watch out for. Joe Hart, I don't know if he was just bored sitting doing nothing, so decided to make it interesting and trying to volley the ball off Morelos was just so stupid. And it gave them all the confidence at the end of the half, and I don't think we won one header when they got a corner in that kind of passage of play, which was really poor. Morelos should probably had a double, but as he usually does, he fluffs his lines against us. Greg Taylor coming off was a major blow, but I thought there was some standout performers. I thought Real Matate at times was just tremendous, just gliding past players as if they weren't there. I think Maida was excellent. I did say, I think my prediction was Kyogo would score 2 and Maida to get 1, but I just didn't predict the Rangers would score any. But no, it was quite important for us not to lose. It's bad enough losing to them, but I don't think we wanted to lose to that manager either. I think that would have been a bit of a boot in the balls, but no, we're still 9 clear. We're 20 goals ahead. We've got a couple of home games coming up, so we're in a really good position to press on and try to retain the title. But no, it was one of our better performances. But I don't think I've ever seen us so far ahead in the league go to Ibrox, equalise with a couple of minutes to go, and then nobody celebrates. They just grab the ball and get back to the halfway line. But I think that's the mentality that Ange has installed. I think if we'd a wee bit more composure in the 7 added minutes, we would have won it, no bother. There was a few times, I think Tavernier passed the ball straight to Jota. And I think the guy Sands gave the ball right to Abada as well. He was just kind of standing. If he'd just a wee bit more composure in the moments, I think we could definitely win the game, and I would really put it right up them. But overall, I think you could be happy with the result. I'd be surprised if we play that badly against them again this season. you would expect we'll probably play them another three times, including the League Cup final. Maybe play them four times if you get them in the Scottish. But I think Michael Beale worked out quite quickly that if they get Sakala running at Juranovic, they were going to get success, and that's what they done. They just punted Buzz up to Sakala. And I mean, even for the penalty, Starr felt really stupid for diving in, but the minute I see it back, I don't think it is a penalty. I think Sakala stands in him. But I think Juranovic gets nutmegged in the build-up to that. In the first goal, Juranovic gets completely wrong side and should just take Sakala's legs away and take the booking. But again, I think we can all safely assume that Juranovic isn't going to be here for long. We can probably assume Ange isn't get much confidence in Bernabe or even have little odds. So, no, a strange game. I'm with Danny after the first 10 minutes. I thought we're going to blow this mob to bits. But we just kind of took our foot off the gas, which was sad. But overall, I think we played 20 games, won 18, drawn one and lost one, so we can't really have any complaints, and it's just a case of go on to the next game.
Aye, and Andy, I'll bring you in. As Tony said, that's us now 20 games into the league campaign. We've had two derbies and won 9 points clear with a far superior goal difference as well. What did you make of the game in general and the effects of the result?
I mean, listen, if you look at the actual campaign as a whole, I think we would all a bit in your own half to be in this position to start the season. No loss the derby game, 9 points ahead, superior goal difference, we're in a really good place. And although Macy's predicted the wins, I think we would all have taken a draw rematch, especially during the game at 2-1, had a bit in your own half for it. So it's a good position to be in. But only game itself, I thought that obviously they completely gift us a goal, just making an asset. It's a good interception from Maeda, and then he's strong in his run, good finish, gets another goal for us and another good performance. So he's probably one of our better performers yesterday. But I think on the actual performance itself, it was one of the poorest that I've seen us. And I think I don't think there's really any getting away from it. I think we were poor in so many areas and uncharacteristically poor. Getting the ball away just far, far too cheaply in certain areas, and it killed us at times. I was speaking to one of my pals earlier about the game, and it really, up until we got an equaliser, it just reminded me of sort of us in the Champions League sort of performance this season. It really had all the same characteristics of that, like in a good position, and we don't capitalise on it, we don't take advantage of it. And it just falls apart. You go on and all, but we really should have took all the confidence for that. We should have really started to express ourselves and really sort of put the boot into them. We should have been getting a half time. And after the ball goes in at 1-0, I'm thinking, right, we're going to go in 3-0 up again at half time here. And it really just fell apart because, listen, they're no any good side. They didn't turn up and sort of blows away or play really, really well. I don't think they did at all. I think it was just, I mean, aside from the goals, I don't think the keepers, either of them, were really work all that much. I don't think it was a great game of football, if you can say that about a game that's got four goals in it. But as an actual game, I don't think it was great. I don't think there was a lot of sort of proper high-quality moves going on. I think Greg Taylor going to have kills us a wee bit. I think we've spoken before about the really important to him. I think I was about 20 minutes in, and that maybe does coincide with sort of really tailing off in the first half. I think him getting off was a big miss. He's obviously really important to us, not only defensively, because you know he's always going to give a solid defensive performance and sort of fulfil his role as a left-back to a high standard, but going forward and in possession when he comes into the middle and really makes things tick. I think we did miss that, and I think I suppose there's an argument for there's maybe a bit of logic in bringing Juranovic in for the experience, and he's sort of been there, seen it and done it. His performance, he's a little cup, his confidence would be high. But then the other way I look at it is I think it's just an error of judgment for the manager. I really, really do. I can't even be too harsh on Juranovic, because left backs are fucking, it's a kind of position to play, right? Any full back one is, to be honest with you. But you're putting him out of position against a pacey winger. It's a horrible thing to be a position to be in, because he's so used to, he's quite happy to show somebody the line when he's playing it right back, because it's playing into his strong side, where when you put him left back, everything he do then has to become the opposite. Everything he's used to. And it's just a horrible sort of position to be in. And the fact that we were then out of possession for sort of prolonged periods and things, it makes that all the much more difficult. So I can't be too harsh on him. Listen, he shouldn't be getting beat as easy as he was, but I don't like the way that people are going on and fucking calling him for everything. I think that's just mental. The manager really should have probably subbed him again and put Bernabeu on, whether he had... I mean, ultimately, Bernabeu's on the bench. He trusts him some part. He's on the bench for a reason. If he didn't trust him the first time, after Juranovic's performance, he should have been fucking taken off. Even if not after the first goal. I know it wasn't long they scored again, but after the second, like, the whole game, it was just getting worse and worse. And I felt for him at points because it was... He just looked so uncomfortable, even in possession, trying to build up. He's trying to play the ball in the line where he's left and things like that, and it's just no coming off. And it was just completely unnatural position for him to be in. So I don't buy into being so harsh. And then you get to half-time, and it felt as if we were sort of... We struggled out of the line. I thought, just get half-time, don't concede, then that's... The manager can get in and get speaking to the players. And we came out, and in all honesty, I was stunned. There wasn't a sub made. I thought, sure thing, he changes something here. We see how this has gone, no matter that we're 1-0 up, we see exactly how it's gone, surely we change something. No, 2 minutes later they score, you go right again, surely something changes. No, I think it was an hour, maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes again, they score again, you're like, what do we need to do? And then Forrest comes off. I don't know how he lasted so long. It could have been a good serving, but he was fucking rotten, let's be honest with you. I agree with what we said earlier, O'Reilly was rotten and all. Starfelt was just being Starfelt at times when the ball's in the deck. I agree with Tony completely. When it's in the air, he's imperious at times, but when the ball's in the deck, it's just a fucking nightmare. Hart, again, I don't know what the fuck he was playing at. But it just gives them impetus to go on and press and keep going. But I thought the subs were just a bit late to sort of prevent anything. It felt a bit... They were very reactive subs for me, but don't get me wrong. I thought Moy done really, really well when he came on. And then again, I was screaming out for Jota and Jackie Marcus to come on. It's not until, what, the 77th minute or something they came on. I'm thinking it's just so late in the day again for those changes. And again, we score, we get the equaliser, but I felt as if with a bit more time, we really could have went and won. It just felt that, as I said, the subs were all very reactive to everything they'd done. They took him on after Jack had come on as a sub, and it looked as if Rangers were just going to try and shut up shop, as opposed to let them react to what we're doing, look, be the ones to make the move. So it was a frustrating performance, and as I said, it just felt, let's say, like in Europe at times, like, in a great position to go and really sort of stamp an authority in the game and put it to bed early. And we didn't, and we get punished for it. We get punished for poor, really, really poor phases of play. I would be surprised if I see as poor as that again. And I know it's, listen, the refereeing was fucking scandalous at times. I don't know how we never get a penalty. Starfelt won. Listen, he's given the ref the chance to make a decision. It's stupid. You don't go to ground in that situation. Seen it given fucking about 100 times in the World Cup as well. So, if that's where the rules are, then whatever. But it shouldn't have even came down to that. We should have been putting ourselves well away from a referee decision impacting us. But again, listen, we've nothing lost, nothing gained. If anything, it's really going to fucking hurt them that we've came again, scored late on in a game, and it's dented their title hopes. But again, I should mention, I thought Alistair Johnston came in and done really, really well. I was impressed with him. I agree with Tony again on him. I think he's come into probably our toughest game that we'd get domestically, going away to Ibrox, and everything's on the line for them. So I think he done really, really well, and hopefully with more time and more training sessions and more games with the team, he'll only improve as well, and a player who I've been looking really forward to seeing.
Aye, definitely. It'll be good to see him and Mers. We've obviously got a few games made in January, so if Juranovic does go, I would expect Alistair Johnston to be the one to take his place. But Danny, a few players have been mentioned, but one that's no really been touched on, who I think you said last week is he's sort of fell into the same category as Callum McGregor, where you just expect him to play well and he sometimes gets overlooked. But just a word on how good Cameron Carter-Vickers was yesterday.
Aye, he was immense. He was a rotted and had a great block at the end. It was what we needed, and then that one at the end where he'd think two of them fighting him and he came away with the ball. And he's just brilliant, isn't he? I think Tony put a bold statement in saying he's the best centre half he's ever seen play for Celtic. It might have been you, actually.
It was Dan, just to clarify.
Might have been Dan. I would actually agree. I think he's every bit as good as he's playing in teams that weren't as good as the teams at Mialbe and Aldean that played in, but I think he's every bit as good, if no better. He's fucking brilliant. And he never flustered. He never looks as if he's going to make a mistake, or he never looks, you know, nerved by it, and he just keeps going. I thought he was very good yesterday. And he is another captain in the team. I know he's captained the team a few times, but he is like another captain. He just rolls his sleeves up and gets on with it and was happy enough for him. I thought, as I've said, that's totally right. I thought the boy Johnson stood up really well in his debut. Forrest gave him fuck all help going back or anything going forward. Don't want to pan Forrest, you've done that enough, but it was so disappointing yesterday. Because after about 2 or 3 minutes, you just, even before the goal, I think he gave a ball away. He just, I think 3 times in the first half he gave a ball away in the first 20 minutes or something. It was just so frustrating. Because we've seen that when he is direct, he's a lot better than that. And that one where Maeda, who had beaten at Tavernier any time he went near him, fired a fucking great ball across, and you just know Jota, you know Abada, or even Haksabanovic would have been there to finish it, and Forrest is fucking trailing his arse at the back. Just really frustrated me, because he's been such a good player for his over years, but I couldn't believe he started. I don't think the Burnaby no coming on, because Ange doesn't trust him. I think Ange just looked at his bench and thought, we need to keep control of this game. And I'll put Juranovic on because he's an experienced internationalist. He's played left back before. He's played left back at Ibrox before. Just put him in there. Even if Juranovic can give him an hour. But it got to the point where if he'd have took Juranovic off, as bad as he was, it was just an always to a sub. Burnaby on. He had to make men attacking subs in the second half. But Carter-Vickers was brilliant. And Starfield, I don't know what happened to him yesterday. I know these games make folk do silly things and that, but he was doing Cruyff turns and all that at one point, and he was trying to play like Davey Drags and play the boy out of defence, and you think, just give the boy to Carter-Vickers, McGregor or Taylor or Juranovic. Fucking don't, you know, and he was trying those, and he's Tony was right, he's fucking immense in the air. He had about 4 or 5 great headers in the first half, and then he was inviting, and I think that's your issue when it comes to them. It was the same in the Scottish Cup semi as well, as we invite them on and they fucking live for like the break of the ball or getting a penalty, and you know, are fucking, they live for that shit, and we kind of played into their horns yesterday, which was disappointing. But overall a good point, and you know, it was must win for them and they didn't win, and so now they're talking about how good they were, but I never thought we were in any danger of losing any more goal. Carter-Vickers made that great block, but, you know, it wasn't like, oh, they're fucking hammering us here. They had maybe 2 or 3 chances at least. We had a couple as well, so probably the two shivers of shite throwing shite at each other by the end of it, but the way that folk are going on is how, you know, it's a marker. It's, you know, it went from them reigniting their title challenge, whatever they're calling it, to a marker for next season in the space of fucking 5 minutes. And I just wish these folk would learn. They're slagging us, saying, oh, we never stop, ha ha ha, because they came back, but there's still fucking 40 minutes of the game to go. Celtic were always scoring yesterday, and these J-League players that are pish keep scoring against them, so, or do the damage against them, so, you know, you think they'd learn, but I don't know, maybe they need to get beat again, but they get fucked in September and they still come out thinking that they're better than us, and they've got their players coming out and saying they're better than us before the game. Doesn't matter what the league table says. Michael Beale thinks there's only 3 points in it, mate. Probably thinks there's only two now because Rangers got a point out of Celtic yesterday. But I mean, that's what we're dealing with. So maybe it's best just to move on and think about games in the future, because unless we play them in the Scottish Cup or the League Cup, I don't think we play them again until April.
No, you're right. Next league match is the 8th or 9th of April. If it'll be the 9th, if it gets moved to the Sunday. But could well come up against them. Obviously, the League Cup semi-finals in 2 weeks' time. And they're up against Aberdeen, who obviously went close to beating them a few weeks ago. But who knows how it'll go. I think you're right about this sort of lack of quality in the game. I think in the second half, there was only 3 shots on target, and it was their 2 goals and our goal. So I think both sides sort of... And the final areas were pretty poor, and I know Carl Vickers had a few excellent blocks, and that's how I wanted to highlight him. I thought, as I said, I thought he was outstanding, and a real leader, you say, is almost like, I know he's a stand-in for Callum McGregor when he was out, and a lot of people don't think he's the most vocal of that, but you could just see, yes, he's just full of fight, and he's full of desire, and I hope he's here for as long as possible, because I just think he's absolutely fantastic. But Tony, anything else you want to add? There's been a few people who want the club to come out and ask about these VAR decisions. I think at the AGM they actually says that they had questioned a few of them. Like it's I know some people, some fans, only Celtic fans, will call us paranoid, but you look at like the handballs that Burnley Bay was penalised for and Matt O'Reilly was penalised for, and then you look at the ones with no goal, like Michael Smith at Tynecastle and then Golden yesterday. Like, it's just like, as Danny said, VAR was meant to cut out these sort of mistakes, but it just seems to have gave them like even they seem to be even merrier an occurrence. And I watch Sports Scene in that, like, so I don't see every 90 minutes for every game, but it seems to me that we get affected way more than any other team. And I don't know if that's just because we attack more, but it's just it's insane the decisions that are gone either against us or that only been given for us, like yesterday.
I just find that a bit strange, to be honest. I mean, I see people saying that the IFAB ruling shows if it hits your hands and you're protecting your face after a powerful shot, it's not a penalty, but it's not a powerful shot. Starfield's just lodged the ball up in the air. So, I don't know if it does it. It's talking out about it. We really should. We know the referees in this city or country are just total incompetence. There's no really anything about that that's got to change, I don't think. Why he's not been told to go and have a look at it, I don't know. That seems to be a common thing. Well, the Michael Smith one, how he wasn't told to go and look at that, I'll never know. But if you've got to call it out, do it when you've not been beat. Because if you've been beat, it's just, sour grapes, it's a conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. And people point right away, oh, he's have won everything. So, how can you complain about decisions? But there's been a few things more we should have won. Like, notably the treble against when Ronnie Dyler was the manager. So, things like that where there's no harm, and don't need to come out and say this ref's a cheat, but why not come out and say, look, we don't really understand why you didn't review this. Can you give us an explanation and see how it goes? It can't take them that long to provide a simple explanation over a decision. I think we're entitled to ask questions of referees. We're the biggest club in this country by a country mile, and we do a lot of good for the game here, so give an explanation. That's all it is. It's not a difficult question. So I think they maybe need to review the 700 fans at Ibrox. I know you were there, Dan, obviously. You get my ticket, that go through my contact in corporate, scumbag that he is. But I don't think you're safe, that's why I didn't go. I genuinely don't think you're safe with these nutcases, because I seen somebody get a bottle of Buckfast chucked in him, a half bottle. I think you said you get pelted with a lighter. I mean, these people are nuts. I mean, if you read their forums, they're absolutely bonkers. That's why we get such a good laugh at them. But I would really like to be surrounded by 50,000 of them foaming at the mouth after you've just scored a late equaliser. So I think eventually the club are just going to say we're not taking any tickets, which is a shame. It was a great spectacle when it was 7,000 apiece, but I don't think it's safe for our fans to be in amongst them. I mean,
even our players, the game in April, I think there was a smashed bottle where Joe Hart would be diving. Don't remember getting says about that afterwards. I think one of our physios get pelted with a bottle. I mean, you're dealing with the biggest lunatics in Scotland by quite a distance. So I think the club will need to review it. I don't know, you can obviously tell as you were there, but I can't imagine it would have been much fun.
Aye, it's, the whole setup's just a fucking joke, and like, everybody knows that it's because they couldn't take us having title parties in their midden, and like, it was the whole thing. Like, I got the bus, the supporters bus, just before 9 o'clock yesterday, and usually if you're leaving that early, you fucking think you're going to Tannadice or Aberdeen or something. It was just like, we then go to the away car park, so just next to the stadium, and you're thinking, you're there, I think I go there about 9:40, quarter to 10, and it's fine, everybody's there, like, and then they sort of block it off, but they don't let you near the stadium yet, so you're sort of just in this big crowd, and then the closer it gets to, like, 11 o'clock-ish, everybody starts queuing up, because you're told and you're expecting to be in the stadium, but then you've got these two fucking clowns from Police Scotland on horses that, like, standing at the front of the queue, and they're sort of reversing the horses and moving them forward, and that's when they're letting people forward. But there's 700 people there, but they're letting through five or six at a time, and they're saying that they're trying to cut down on people try to double up and try to skip in, and people with missiles and that. And but at the same time, they're just causing a crush because everybody's getting more agitated and trying to get to the front, and the way they've positioned the horses, it becomes like a sort of bottleneck. So from that sort of aspect, you've got Police Scotland causing all sorts of issues. And then when you get in the stadium, as you say, like, everybody's been here at games, you know, you give and take if you're near the opposition fans. But like, I'd say the one difference between us and when they come to Celtic Park is, I think when they come to Celtic Park, from what I've seen, they get taken in a lot earlier, they're no sort of kettled somewhere, and then I know a lot of away fans complain about being right in the corner and behind that pillar and that, but when you're at Ibrox, like, I noticed it yesterday when I was there, it's the first time I'd been there, like, it's part of the 700, and like, you're surrounded by them, and it's not just from like one side, they're in the top tier as well, from like, sort of both stands. So like, the boy who got pelted with a bucky bottle, like, I think he was a row or two behind me, and you could see it, but that get launched from the top tier, and like, it's as if they want a death. Like, it's like, because if that hits somebody in the right part of their head and causes some sort of brain injury or something like that. Like, I know some people might think that's extreme, but it's mental, and like, as you say, there's like coins and lighters getting hit, and that could do damage if it hits you in the right part, but it's less likely to do it than a fucking bucky bottle, and it's mental, and it wasn't the only one that got thrown. Like, I've seen quite a few, and look, no doubt there's probably some in our support when it's our way that have done the same, but it's mental how, like, the police didn't really seem interested in doing anything, like, because I looked up at one point and you could see one of them in the upper tier, like, with the bucky bottle, and there's police, like, standing yards away from him and just not really doing anything about it. And it happens, like, don't get me wrong, when both Celtic goals get scored, I went fucking mental, and like, I was quite close to the segregation line, so it was great to be a part of that. But they've completely ruined what it was, and I don't, if I'm being honest, I don't think we'll ever get back to the 7,000 or even close to it. But I think we need to, well, I think you're right, I think the club need to really look out for the support and stand up and actually have a word and say, look, we're not being used any tickets, or, well, no, until there's some sort of compromise. Like, there's no reason that you've seen the sort of European supports like Liverpool and that have been at Ibrox this season. Like, there's no reason that we can't sort of come to some sort of arrangement. And like, the only thing stopping it is them. Like, I think the September derby at Celtic Park, Celtic hadn't put the tickets for, I think, area 118 and 119 and a bit of 117 on sale, because I think that's what they were sort of looking today. But you're right, Tony, there will come a time where Celtic will just tell them to shove it, because yesterday was bad enough because like, a lot of people got hit, and then that guy who did get a really nasty gash on his head, but it's just them that have ruined it, and then yeah, they'll be the ones who are claiming our support are disrespectful and they shouldn't be allowed in the stadiums. But it's just an issue that they've completely created. But that's maybe a something for another time. Andy, I'll bring you in on this weekend's game. It's Kilmarnock. We've got Kilmarnock the next two weekends. This one is at Celtic Park in the league. What are you expecting from it, Hink? Kilmarnock drew not neat yesterday, but what are you expecting from them? We obviously beat them quite handsomely at Rugby Park earlier in the season.
I'm expecting them to turn up and try and stink the place out and play for a penalty or a late corner or something along the lines. But I think that's... I suspect we'll maybe see one or two changes to the starting 11. I would hope, to be honest with you. If for nothing else, just a bit of freshness. We've got a big squad. Obviously, there's boys that have come in January. So I'd expect a bit of rotation on our part. But I think there should also be an element of confidence that we take for the game. And that again, we've came away with a late goal and got something out of a game that was perhaps a getting away phase. And I think that'll take us into the game quite well. Actually, think and hope we're going to see a positive performance. I think we've not kept a clean sheet at home for a wee while now. You mean, correct me if I'm wrong there, but I don't think we've kept a clean sheet at home for a wee while, Dan. So I'm hoping that can be sort of top of the agenda next to a win. And a good performance, to be honest with you. I really want to just see sort of play well across the pitch. We've had sort of a couple of games where it's either that the midfield's been really well, but the final third's been a bit poor. We've not really had a sort of complete performance across the pitch. So I would like to see that. But another game, I think it's probably one of the first Saturday at 3 o'clock, that one of the very few that we seem to get in a season. So looking forward to that. And again, I'm sure the players will be up for it, the manager will be up for it and come in, put a big performance in. We know how they're going to play the same way everybody plays when they come.
Andy, just on what you said, we've actually not kept a clean sheet in at Celtic Park since we beat the Huns in September.
Jesus fuck. I didn't think it was as long as that. As far back as I could go was when Leipzig beat us. I think after that I was a bit hazy in the games prior. But I think that just shows you we've been winning games at home. I don't think that's by the by, but there's been perhaps too tight or we're gear away daft goals like Livingston and Ross County, and then sort of having to see you at a game with an element of a worry that they're going to nick something. So it would just be nice to see us go get a really good performance, similar to how we did against St Johnston. But I know the game was done at that point, but just no gear away a daft goal. Just keep that concentration really, really high. I think that would be good to see, and again get into a massive game against Kilmarnock. Obviously, we play them at home. The team will be looking to really sort of put a marker down ahead of the semi final, and a clean sheet I think would be a massive part of that. It's a different game, which we obviously will cover before the semi. But one half cup games, anything can happen. First stops the league. I think we will get a good performance. I think there'll be a couple of changes to the starting lineup. Guys like Moy, I think, will come back, and I suspect you'll see Johnston start again. But I think Bernabeu will come in at left back. So I think there will be changes. There'll be a bad starting as well. So I'm looking forward to that element, because players will want to stake claims to sort of come into the team and stay in the team. And I think that's always good, because competition's healthy. So I'm expecting a good performance, but I want to see a nice positive win and a clean sheet there.
I definitely think, just as you say, it sort of took me aback as well, the fact that it's been since September. But Danny, what are you expecting from it? Are you expecting many changes? I know Kobayashi was on the bench as well yesterday, and I think it's maybe too soon for Iwata to be in the squad. I know Anshay's last week in his press conference that he was still in Japan, so maybe a bit too early for him. But what are you expecting?
I don't know. I think Andy's right. They'll come on, they'll just play and not get beat. Probably get a penalty with VAR for like a home ball for the ball hitting somebody in the ear or something. Fuck knows now. I'd expect Celtic to come out and play well. We usually have a good response after quite a dip in our performance, so hopefully you see it on Saturday. I'd like to see Kobayashi come in. I'd like to see him start. I'd keep Johnson in the team as well, any change if Taylor doesn't make it. I don't know about his injury, it was a hamstring, but I don't know if it's bad or anything. But I would play Bernabeu left back and just see Johnson and just keep trying to bed Johnson into your team as quickly as possible, because I thought he did a really strong debut. But I'd like to hope that we'd be able to get a good two goals after Coman, because I don't think they're very good. But as I say, they would just sit and play in and not get beat. So it'll be a tough game, but are they playing before us again?
No, they're at Tannadice on Sunday afternoon.
There's a chance to go 12 clear for at least 21 or 22 or whatever, so it's a good chance to go out and put a marker down and hopefully score a few early goals. Like this at Johnston game the other week, Christmas Eve, just score a few goals early and try and shut the game down. And then you can stretch your legs and second half. Maybe you can get a look, you know, maybe you can get a look at Kobe Ashing, that if you don't start on, you can get a look at him then. So, bye, hopefully they just bounce back and get back into winning ways again. Because, you know, as I say, after kind of draws or bad performances or defeats under Ange, since we kind of screwed them up last October, it's been kind of, you always get a good response. You always kind of dig one letter on a win. So hopefully it kicks off on Saturday.
Aye, definitely. Tony, what about you? Would you be looking to make many changes from yesterday?
Yeah, I'd be Danny. I'd drop Starfelt and put Kobayashi in. Just give a shot against probably what you would hope would be quite a comfortable game. I don't think Kelly offered it in Rugby Park. I thought they were symbolic. So I think it's a chance to hopefully get a similar result then. That would be the hope. I would drop O'Reilly and bring Moy in. I'd like to see Mera Johnston. I was a big fan of him. I'm assuming Burnaby will play for Taylor for something for a couple of weeks. It's great, but it's a massive squad to kind of deal with these things. So, that would be my team. And I'm stuck by Jack Abakis up front. I know Kyogo scored, but it would be nice to give him a chance to get back my score sheet. I think he's not been given a lot of game time, and I think he's a bit unfair. I like the big man. I know he was posting cryptic garbage, but I'd give him a shot. But I think we'll do them 5-0. That'd be my prediction. I'll go for Giacomakis hat-trick, Abadi score, and Maidi score.
I think it'll be a few changes, not too many. I don't know if we'll bring Kobayashi in. I think Burnaby will come in. I think Aaron Moy will get a start, and maybe at the expense of Matt O'Reilly. And I think that you might see Jota and possibly Abada as well. I don't know. He seems to switch about with the wingers, so maybe he will look to change it up. But obviously, with that League Cup semi-final the following Saturday, he might want to play strongest 11 just to sort of match them and see how they cope against Kelly's set-up and whatever, and we'll see come Saturday. It's in game, and as Danny said, it's a chance to extend the lead, put a bit of pressure on. I think we will. I think we'll win the game 4-0, and I think that Kyogo will get a double along with Aaron Moy getting a penalty and Alistair Johnston getting his first goal. Danny, what's your prediction?
I think it'll be 4-1, and Matt O'Reilly will score, and the Kyogo will get a hat-trick. You don't drop the end form, that will score. That's
And Andy, you want to round us off for a prediction?
Hey, I'm going to go for 3-0. Let me think who's going to be in the score sheet. As Danny was saying, I think it was one or two episodes ago, Burnaby's going to pick one in for about 20 yards out, because he's going to start. So I'm going to say Burnaby, Maida will get another goal, and Yacht will get a goal.
There you go, 4 comprehensive victories predicted. Hopefully Celtic deliver them. We will be back after that Kilmarnock game. We'll have a wee look at how that went. We'll also preview the League Cup semi-final and maybe discuss some transfer activity if there's any sort of incomings or outgoings or any rumours flying about. But if you've made it this far, thanks very much for listening. We will be back next week. And remember to visit Football Prizes for a chance to win that Kyogo custom frame shirt. So cheers to everybody who's taking the time to listen, and catch you after.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.